Good afternoon. Thanks for everyone for being here. I'm Inja, and I'm from Partnered Evidence-Based Policy Resource Center at VA Boston. And today I'm going to present a work that I have collaborated with my colleagues from VA Boston and Providence VA. So the title is actually the key finding that the veteran-directed care and other purchase care service recipients have similar trajectories in terms of hospitalizations and costs. So as we know, unpaid family caregivers comprise a large portion of the workforce caring for adults with multiple chronic conditions and cognitive functions, and these veterans are most likely to be at risk of nursing home placement. Caregiver burden is also common and may cause adverse consequences for care recipients as well. The VA has been working on facilitating independent community living for the seriously ill patients and supporting the caregivers through various initiatives and programs. One of these is the GEC Veteran-Directed Care Program. The Veteran-Directed Care Program is a participant-directed program which provides enrollees with monthly budgets and options counselings for them to purchase goods and services to help them live safely in their homes and communities. The goods are, for example, a wheelchair or home modifications. And in terms of services, the veterans can use the budgets to hire their family members, friends, and neighbors as paid caregivers. Although the enrollment criteria vary across facilities, generally the eligible enrollees of the Vet-Directed Care Program are those with at least three functional limitations, and those with requiring at least 30 hours per week of care by caregivers, or those who are eligible for nursing home level services. Besides, the Veteran-Directed Care Program also supports the caregivers through training and burden monitoring. Interviews on the program coordinators suggest that the program is actually meeting the needs of the veterans, and the caregivers and the veterans highly appreciate the flexibility and the options provided by this participant-directed program, because they are able to make decisions in terms of who to hire as their caregivers and make decisions in terms of how to allocate the resources. However, there's little evidence in terms of the hospitalization and cost outcomes associated with the Vet-Directed Care Program. So we are looking at the incidence of VA hospital admissions, ambulatory care sensitive admissions, and also the hospital costs in the year after initial receipt of the Vet-Directed Care Program. Expansion of the program could be further justified if the outcomes for the enrollees of the Veteran Care Program are at least non-inferior to outcomes for veterans in other purchased care programs. So to conduct the analysis, we included a relatively large sample size of over 37,000 veterans receiving at least one VA purchased care service in fiscal year 17 in one of the 38 VA medical centers. And we compared the outcomes of veterans enrolled in veteran-directed care and other purchased care services such as homemaker and home health aid, home respite, and or contract adult day health care. The 38 VAMCs include both the sites with active VDC programs in fiscal year 17 and also the sites with inactive VDC programs but expressed interest in participating and had similar patient populations. So we compared the primary outcomes of monthly incidence of acute hospital admissions at VMCs, as well as the hospitalization costs per month for the patients. For the analysis, we use the differences analysis to compare the differences in outcomes from before to after initial receipt of the VDC enrollment to the differences in outcomes from pre to post the initial enrollment of other purchased care service programs in fiscal year 17. And we tested matched and unmatched models with different specifications. So in general, the models and the results show that the VDC receipt was not significantly associated with changes in hospital admissions over time. But I'd also want to mention that the veteran-directed care recipients were found to be more medically complex compared to the enrollees in other purchase care programs. For example, they were more likely to have spinal cord injury, they were more likely to receive aid and attendance benefits, and they had relatively higher care assessment need scores. So despite that, the VDC recipients were more medically complex. From this figure, we could see that the recipients in the VDC program and in other purchase care programs have similar changes in their hospital use over time. And the three lines above show the monthly incidence of acute hospital admissions. And the three lines below show the monthly incidence of ambulatory care sensitive admissions. And generally, we can see that the changes are similar across the groups. And similarly, when we look at the average monthly inpatient care cost for veterans enrolled in vet-direct care and in other purchase care programs, we can see that the changes in the hospital cost over time are similar across these groups. Despite that, the veteran-directed care enrollees were more medically complex, and that the veterans and the caregivers highly valued the flexibility and options provided by this program. So in conclusion, our results showed that the vet-directed care is a valuable option for supporting the veterans with multiple chronic conditions and functional limitations, as well as supporting their caregivers. Our study has several limitations. For example, we didn't include Medicare and Medicaid healthcare use and cost data, and also the stop code for the vet-directed care program was introduced in fiscal year 17, so it was possible that the vet-directed care service was received before fiscal year 17, but was coded as homemaker and home health aide. Despite these limitations, our analysis used the most recent and comprehensive data set, and our results are robust across the different models. So we think that it's supporting it's supporting the policy decision in terms of the expansion of this program. And further evaluations are possible, for example, to look at a longer follow-up period instead of 1 year to estimate the effects of the hospitalization costs using Medicare and Medicaid data when the data is available, to look at other health outcomes, for example, nursing home admissions, and also to conduct a budget impact analysis to provide more accurate cost implications in terms of this program nationally. So thank you. And any questions?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting that you chose hospitalization because I've heard you say that maybe you look at nursing home admissions in the future, but I thought it was a curious choice because hospitalization is a very discrete event, which is relatively infrequent compared to other challenges that caregivers encounter. So I just wondered if you could reflect on that.
Yeah, those are two great, very great questions. So for the first question, what are the veterans and their caregivers seeking in terms of joining the veteran-directed care program? So I think one thing is that it has a feature of the participant-directed program compared to other purchase care programs, so that they can receive both the monthly budgets and also the options counseling in terms of what they, for example, who they want to hire as their caregivers, when do they want to hire the caregiver, or they can actually allocate resources into the goods and services they want to purchase. So I think the flexibility and the options provided by the program, as reflected in the previous interviews, is one thing that's valued. And another thing is that the Vet-Directed Care Program actually targets the seriously ill patients with multiple chronic conditions. And these patients are kind of at risk of institutionalizations such as nursing home or hospitalizations, and this veteran care program is likely to prevent unnecessary institutionalizations related to nursing homes or hospitalizations or maybe hospice. And then for your second question, so why are we looking at hospitalizations? And then for example, of course, we're also looking at nursing homes because, as you mentioned, it's kind of one of the important outcomes of the purchase care programs and community care programs. So the hospitalizations is not actually very rare in terms of our data. But one thing to notice is that the ambulatory care hospitalizations is a relatively rare outcome in our analysis. And we looked at the ambulatory care hospitalizations because those are the potentially preventable outcomes and hospitalizations. However, because it was relatively rare, so we didn't include the cost analysis for that. And as you suggested, we are currently looking at the nursing home admissions, and we're also trying to look at whether there is variations in terms of these outcomes for patients who live in the rural versus the urban locations. So there are more kind of more subpopulations and variations in the outcomes analysis. Thank you. Sure.
Same as the caregiver support program? Is that part of this? Are those synonymous or not?
Yeah. Thank you.
And then I don't have a question. Great presentation. One thing that we often struggle with utilization is distinguishing between appropriate and inappropriate care, and one can imagine ending up with no results because there's a sort of a competing shift in those. Do you have any idea whether it's the shrinking of variance or any other ways of looking at appropriate care utilization that might be happening here that you're not seeing an overall effect?
Mm-hmm. So I think that although we are not seeing an overall effect, but considering that the veteran-directed care recipients were more medically complex, so we were our conclusion was that it was non-inferior to the other purchase care programs. And as of the point you mentioned that, how to distinguish the necessary or appropriate or inappropriate utilizations. I think one thing that we tried was to look at the ambulatory care sensitive hospitalizations because those was generally considered to be the preventable and unnecessary hospitalizations. But just because of the low incidence of the outcome, we were not able to see the effect. Thank you.
One quick one, yep.
So that's a very good question. So we did not specifically analyze the difference between the whether the veterans were more likely to get vet-directed care within the 21 sites, but when we actually when we try to identify the sites with active veterans veteran-directed care, we included the sites with at least 5 patients enrolled in veteran-directed care program for a majority of the months within the fiscal year 17. So generally, I think it's kind of the sites with a relatively large sample size. Mm-hmm. Sorry, does that answer your question?
Yeah, so basically the issue is how generalizable are your findings. As far as I know, that our director care is not much, so it's kind of important to understand who you're talking about, who your study findings are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. just in time? One sentence. So we are also trying to look at different subpopulations and trying to see whether there's difference between those who had or didn't have previous purchased care services among those receiving vet-directed care, and then see if there's any difference. Mm-hmm.
Good. Thank you. That was great.
Thank you.